Being Youth Month, we're focusing on young achievers who are making an impact through their endeavours. Today we speak to a young gentleman who's made a success as an entrepreneur in running a fintech business, among others. This year he featured in the Forbes magazine Under 30 for the finance category for 2021. Well, to tell us more about himself and his contributions so far, I'm joined on the line by Alex Bouazizi. He's the co-founder and CEO at Deel. Thanks very much, Alex, for joining us. Now, I see from your profile that tech has been an interest for you from even when you were a youngster. You were one of 100 scholars chosen from over 10,000 people to attend some big tech summit in Ireland in 2014. So when would you say you started to get the tech bug?
I got the tech bug when I was a little kid. My father is a tech entrepreneur. He actually built a company all the way to being public when I was a little kid. So I saw a company grow from zero all the way to IPO. So
wow, that's
sadly
awesome.
Fortunately, I got the tech bug at a very young age.
So I see that you're an international citizen with your company Deel based in the United States, but you also did some studies in Israel. Just give us a flavor of your background.
Of course. Well, I'm originally from Paris. I grew up in Paris, eventually moved to Israel to do my BA. I moved to the U.S. to do my master's. That's actually where I met my co-founder. She's originally Chinese, and she moved to the U.S. as well. After that, I went to the U.K. for a couple, for a year, started a PhD, and then kind of moved around the world from there. Yeah, very much of an international person. This is why I'm building an international company.
Awesome. So you've amassed a lot of study in the area of civil and environmental engineering, and you also seem to have developed some entrepreneurial flair early on. And of course, the background that you give us about your father gives us some idea as to why. Just tell us a bit about how your entrepreneurial journey in tech started, and to what extent, if any, the engineering qualifications actually helped you.
Yeah, you know, I've always been building products. So from a very young age, I've built various, you know, from small websites all the way to small apps. And I think around the age of 20 is when I started rebuilding. Of course, my engineering background always helped me from some of the basics of coding, but also problem solving as a whole. Mm-hmm. You know, tackling every single idea I had as a problem and formulating a solution for it, a structured solution for it, was always critical. And yeah, I built a lot of different companies at the time. You know, like every entrepreneur, most of them didn't work out. Some of them were just funny ideas that they didn't get to what we call product market fit, right? To something that, you know, had enough traction and interest from customers.
Yes.
But yeah, I think, you know, I've built myself a dozen little apps and websites before, you know, Deel was the one that really took off.
So you and some of your colleagues started up your current venture, Deel, that you just mentioned, which I understand is a payroll and compliance platform that helps facilitate workers and employers who aren't necessarily in the same geographies. Just tell us more about the business and its value proposition.
Of course, the business is fairly straightforward, although there's a lot of complexity under the hood. You know, if you're generally today, the companies are going global, right? The world is going remote. And you as a company, you want to work with the right talent, with the best talent, regardless of their location.
Yes.
The little problem with that is that when you're a South African company, hiring someone in the United States or in Spain or in Dubai is not trivial, right? Because you need to set up shop traditionally. So we actually help you forego those barriers. Basically, we help you by having our own entities or working with local lawyers and accountants in every single one of those countries. So in a click of a couple of buttons, you can start a relationship with someone in another country, either as an employee of our own structures, where we give them all the different benefits they need,
yes,
or as an independent contractor, where we streamline the whole relationship. So if you ever want to hire anyone anywhere, you can do that with us in a couple of clicks.
Great stuff. Typically, what sort of industries have been using your services?
We really have everything. I mean, you know, when it comes to the size of companies, we have from small companies that are just starting off, maybe hiring their first salesperson in another country, all the way to public companies. And, you know, generally, we had a tendency to focus on tech companies because this is what my background is focused on and Shua's background is focused on. But we're starting to branch out into advertisements and a lot of other different industries and verticals that we're very excited about.
Yeah. So for some businesses, the effects of the pandemic were a death knell, while for others, it was a boon. Was your business one of those that thrived, especially on the back of limited international travel and the like?
Yeah, you know, I think that generally our business is meant to be a large business, right? The idea that you want to hire anyone anywhere is something that, you know, is pretty big and it's a pretty hard problem to solve.
Yes.
Now, I will say that the fact that a lot of people were bound to, you know, stay at home and work from home showed them that you don't need to be in an office to only do your best work. And by definition, if you don't need to be in an office, then a lot of the companies that were primarily hiring, let's say, in San Francisco, where the salaries are completely crazy and where you pay, you know, 100 times what you would pay for a normal worker in another country.
Yes.
And if you don't need to be in the same place, then you might not need to hire in the same places only as well, right? So definitely had a lot more companies focused on, you know, hiring their talent based on hiring talent based on talent rather than based on location.
Yeah.
And the second thing is we had a lot of people relocating. You know, due to the pandemic, you wanted to spend time with your family if you're going to be locked down somewhere.
That's right.
Rather than being locked down on the tower. So a lot of people had to go back home. And as a company, as an HR leader, you needed to figure out, hey, how am I going to employ my super amazing talent that's going back to their location, their home country, and is maybe leaving the US or the UK, right? And that also was a pretty interesting accelerator for us. For
yeah. Sure. I mean, that notion that you raise is quite critical from a cost perspective for any employer around the world, that you can hire someone in their backyard in Johannesburg as opposed to in New York, because obviously the cost would be different and you'd have to pay for some of those costs.
And access to learning in general, right, with platforms like YouTube and so many coding tools, like a lot of people have managed to pick up a lot of the different skill sets that you need in order to be working for a high-tech company or do an engineering job or an operations job from, you know, your backyard in Johannesburg. You don't need to be in New York or in San Francisco only to be a great engineer nowadays.
Yes. But of course, you know, I mean, let's be fair though, Alex, there are certain professions or skills that better lend themselves to working from home on a more permanent basis relative to others. So from a trends perspective, what do you think it's going to be when it comes to working from home and people returning to work? From your interactions with clients, what's your sense of where things are going to go?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we are a bit more focused on the white collar labor, right? People that can work from anywhere and,
yes,
you know, don't specifically have to go to the office. So, you know, most of the people that we serve today don't really have, you know, they're not working in the warehouses or all that. So it's easier, yeah, for them to be remote. I think most of the companies I talk to understand that remote is here to stay. It's very convenient for a lot of people. And, you know, the way I look at it and my understanding for my customers is that they expect to be hybrid. Some people will be on site. Some people will be part-time on site. Some people will be just working from wherever they want. And I think, you know, when it comes to talent, being flexible is what enables you to get the best talent to work for you. So, you know, every company will have to figure out what works best for their own culture.
Yes.
And what works for their own employees, basically.
Makes sense. Makes sense. So what's your message to emerging market nations like us here in South Africa about the importance of embracing tech and the economic advantages that can be drawn from doing so, bearing in mind also that here in South Africa, we do suffer with a very high unemployment rate?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, the way I look at it is it's your time to shine, right? If you look at some of the companies we work with, like Andela, maybe you're familiar with them. They've been doing amazing generally in Africa, helping develop talent there and helping, you know, the redistribution of wealth. Because you have, for example, at Zill, we'll hire you wherever you are if you're the best person for us. And, you know, that's the best for economies to be able to bring capital from outside and get their citizens to work for the best companies in the world and usually earn much higher salaries than they would earn because of the general basis of a lot of those U.S. companies, you know, being actually fairly uncomfortable with paying very low salaries.
Okay.
Right? You end up having much higher salaries. So, yes, you should double down on that. I think generally government should support that quite a bit. And there's already amazing companies that are helping. But I think it's really an opportunity for most governments. And I'm hoping and I'm hopeful that they'll take advantage of it.
Yeah. So having experienced entrepreneurship literally from infancy, what's your advice to people out there who are listening, you know, who have ideas, but they just don't quite know how to go about starting? What's your sense about how people should proceed?
Yeah, you know, what I've learned is ideas are worth not very much. What's worth a lot is execution. So nowadays, we're very lucky that we live in a time where there's a lot of tools, like no-code tools, where you can build almost full-blown apps, right? Like mobile apps, websites with no tech skills at all.
Yes.
Like you just need to, it's drag-and-drop things that you can build. So my main advice whenever someone asks me is start and try to build something, get it in the hands of people and see if they like it, see if they actually want to use it. And that is the best way to start understanding, hey, can I go forward? Can I push with that? Is there really something there? And that's always my advice is don't dream about things, don't think about things, spend the next, you know, 109 building and learning.
That's awesome. So I'm sure you're very shy about this and you don't like to talk about it all the time, but I hear that Forbes magazine have categorized you as one of the under 30 winners for the finance category for 2021. What do you think that was, you know, in relation to, and, you know, how does it feel to be seen as a leader in what you're doing?
Yeah, you know, very thankful. It's great. I mean, you know, for me, it's just one thing in the many things that we want to accomplish as a team and as a company. And, you know, it's great for me as a person, but there's an amazing team behind me that's helping me build this amazing company. And generally, I think what they really recognize is the vision of the company, right? Enabling people to hire anywhere in the world, enabling people to work for the best companies and get paid on time with great exchange fees and all of that is what we are all about, right? So, you know, individual awards are always fun, but truly it's more of a team thing. I'm just the face that most people see, but they don't see all the rest behind, which are the people doing all the heavy lifting.
Absolutely. That's great stuff. And then lastly, leadership. You know, you're one of the founders of Deel and, you know, you've tried many things. Some have worked, some have failed. What's your feeling about how you should proceed when you want to lead people, you know, to spearhead a vision that you have as a collective?
Yeah, you know, my way of looking at this is I'm learning every day. You know, I think some parts of being a leader is natural, but a lot of it when it comes to scale and when it comes to taking care of your people is something you need to work on. So can't say I'm perfect at all. But what I do know is that people recognize vision, they recognize passion, and they recognize, you know, the want to build something great. And I think this is one of the reasons we have so many amazing people at Deel, right? They look at me, at my co-founder, and they recognize how driven we are to build this great company. And you know, if you can see and feel the passion of someone next to you working on something, you can, you know, it's contagious. You get it too, and you want to build too. So
you get the bug.
This is the most important thing, I think, as a leader, is you have to believe in what you're building. And everybody, you know, if you see someone really believing in something, you have a tendency to believe in it too.
True. That was Alex Bouazis. He's the co-founder and CEO at Deel.